Human beings are fascinated by crime, but there's no crime that fascinates human beings quite like sex crimes. But there's nothing we also hate more than child sex crimes. Welcome back to the Faith of the Fathers podcast. I'm your host, Carl Gessler, here to reignite the faith of the fathers. And you may want to remove your children if they are in listening ear, as you've already gathered from this episode, because of the content that I'll be talking about. But sadly, many kids are not only exposed to rather lewd discussions, but they're actually encouraged to engage in them. And today I want to share with you, this is more or less a reaction video, but in the old school style, because I am an old soul. And so today I'm going to be reading a story to you that a friend of mine sent to me and reacting to it. This story, I've read it through once already, but it demonstrates many things. It demonstrates the way that demons can enter our lives. It explains how people who were living a good life can suddenly be derailed in a terrifying and destructive way. It also reveals how sexualized and how dangerous the upcoming generation is. If we don't reach them with the gospel, they will reach us with the destruction that Satan is planting in that generation. And so this story today is extremely important. It's a story of how a good man became a wicked man who is guilty of sex crimes. So this comes from a friend of mine, his name is David, who I hope to have back on the podcast. I've had him on the podcast before. He has a remarkable testimony of healing and deliverance from a very, very sexualized life where he was sexualized and abused at a very young age and continued to live that lifestyle. God healed and delivered him. And then he had a kind of what I would call, I'm not sure the language he would use for this, but I would call it a falling away, just because he continued to struggle and actually through delivery, continued to struggle with some sexual things for various reasons. Like I said, I hope to have him back on the podcast to tell the whole story. But at the end of the day, he needed further deliverance. He needed deeper deliverance. He's today walking with the Lord on fire again. And so he sent this to me because he is continuing to tell the truth about sexuality and trying to rescue the current generation from the radical demonic sexualization that it's currently programmed to receive. So this is a story that he sent to me. He said, I had a very open conversation with a man that was arrested for child sex crimes. I truly wanted to understand what brought him, a principal, a former teacher, pillar of the community, husband and father, to the point when that perversion came upon him. He was totally honest with me, and I truly believe him in his account of how this happened. My heart actually broke for this man. I know it sounds crazy or sick to feel sorry for a man that abused a child, but having been the victim and the victimizer, this is David speaking, I happen to see things on a more spiritual basis than most people do. And honestly, I don't think that sounds crazy at all. I know it sounds crazy to a lot of people because, crimes against children are much greater because of the innocence of children. Yet nothing is beyond forgiveness, and Jesus died for every sin. And we are all capable of the grossest sins. So Jesus' heart is for the victimizer as well as the victim. It says, David says, I know how perversion and lust of the flesh can oppress or demonize anyone, regardless of their beliefs or how many times they attend a church service. Amen. The man told me that he had never had any type of sexual thoughts or feelings for any child ever in his life. He was happily married and had, I believe, two children of his own. He was a pillar of the community. As a lifelong teacher and now the principal of an elementary school, he dedicated his life to protecting children, and this is an elementary school, young children. Since he was, quote-unquote, on the fence with all the curriculum changes that lean toward the LGBT, you know, the letter, the alphabet community, rainbow cult, especially the books and materials that he was seeing come across his desk. This is a warning to people who are on the fence. Any compromise with the devil is an open door that he will exploit, and he will use it like a wedge to open up more areas of your life to gain more access, more control, more domination. If you consciously have an area of compromise and you leave it alone, you have allowed seeds of destruction to enter your life, and they will get root, and they will sprout, and they will bear the fruit, and the fruit of it is death, because the wages of sin is death. So if you are walking in a gray area today, if you're sitting on the fence about anything, you need to repent today. Draw a line in the sand, tell the devil to get on his side, and you stand with Jesus, because if you don't, destruction is in your future. That is guaranteed. It's as guaranteed as a math equation. If you let the seed bear, if you leave the seed, it will take root, it will sprout, it will produce death, because the wages of sin is death. So he was on the fence about these curriculum changes. He had many meetings with staff, especially the counselors, quote unquote, about these books and this curriculum, because he just wanted to understand the repercussions if he chose to refuse or deny any of the books or curriculum changes. So here again, obviously the man's struggling with the curriculum. He's struggling with it being right or wrong, but what he's slow to pull the trigger about taking a stand, and the reason is because he's afraid of the repercussions, which ultimately is about putting your hope in money and position rather than in Jesus. That's why you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot, and that the fear of man is a snare. You cannot have two masters. And if you are not 100% in with Jesus, you will be 100% in with the devil ultimately. You can only have one master. Now is the time for choosing. So choose this day who you will serve. So he was, the devil knew his weakness here and exploited it. He wanted to know the repercussions if he chose to refuse or deny any of the books of the curriculum. And obviously, he did not think it was worth it to stand up against it. After an entire summer of meetings and research, he was convinced by false information and statistics, like many are today, that he had to allow it because he didn't want to be the cause of any child taking their own life. So the propaganda is, if you don't accept, the language is, if you don't accept these children, but what is really meant is, if you don't accept this behavior, which is very different. Children and behavior are not the same thing. There are many people who do wicked things, and the things that they do need to be punished, but it doesn't mean that the person doesn't have value. Because your value, Jesus loved you while you were still a sinner, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are today, Jesus' love for you is as strong as it has ever been. He may not love what you're doing, but he loves you because you are his idea. He wants to redeem you. But this man believed or accepted the propaganda that if he didn't accept them, that they would commit suicide and it would be his fault. He had no clue that the whole suicidal ideation scam was put in place to do exactly what it did, giving those making decisions shame and or guilt over not agreeing with the sexualized curriculum and agenda. So he allowed these books and this curriculum to come into his school at the insistence of the superintendent as well. So here we have the devil taking little compromises, sticking a wedge in it. My dad used to split wood with wedges. It was a little iron wedge. You just make a little dent in the wood, and then you drove it in deeper and deeper until it split the thing in half, split the log in half. And the devil is doing that with this man. So he allowed these books and this curriculum to come into his school at the insistence of his superintendent as well. He began to feel, quote unquote, different, and he told me that he felt almost like he was becoming obsessed with reading the books. Of course, he told himself it was to know the material, but he definitely felt how the material was taking some kind of control over him and giving him perverted thoughts. This is what happens when we let some, when we make ourselves subservient to a spirit. There is a spirit coming upon that school with an agenda to sexualize children. to sexualize people. And as soon as he didn't stand up to it, he became subservient to it. He came underneath it. And so he began to serve it. He put himself under its authority. But he told himself, as he became more and more obsessed with this material, that he was just getting to know it like a good teacher would. This is just, it's absolutely insane that we have teachers studying pornography as material to know well to teach children. This is absolute insanity and absolute wickedness. He was experiencing arousal that he had never experienced before. Then the oppression or demonization began. That the alphabet community, Rainbow Trends, activist staff and allies had created a clothing closet for students to change into clothing that they thought or felt matched their gender identity. And one day he went to the closet to see what was in it and walked in on a boy changing into a bra and panties. The boy was not ashamed and did not try to hide himself, but actually began to pose or model for the man. Obviously, the boy had been sexualized, victimized at this point as well. Again, there are no words to describe the sickness of this. And you may wonder how America got to where it is, or why we can't seem to find order and peace and prosperity again. We have thousands, millions of parents who are still sending their kids to schools that have clothing closets to pervert their children. That in itself should be enough to bring repentance and shame to every American, Christian or non-Christian, but especially to the Christians. There's absolutely no excuse for sending our children to be groomed in this way. But this principal left, and he felt like he had crossed a very serious line by allowing the clothing closet and by what had just happened. That young boy who identified as a girl started showing up at the principal's office, asking him to talk about stuff he was going through and experiencing. That is the first boy that this man molested. And of course he did. The whole thing was set up for this to take place, because the whole point of this agenda is to normalize it until abuse becomes normal. This is the satanic agenda to steal, kill, and destroy. David continues. He says it was a consensual meeting, quote unquote, a consensual meeting, meaning that the man never had to physically force or threaten the boy. However, David says, please know that, and he's speaking from personal experience. He says, please know that sex with a child can never be consensual. There is no such thing as consensual sex between an adult and a child ever. This boy was obviously conditioned by someone else by that point, meaning he had been victimized so severely that he saw nothing wrong with engaging in those activities with an adult, even his principal. Of course not, because the school is promoting it. I definitely know this darkness personally, as I was victimized, sexualized, and conditioned, a conditioned child looking to engage in sex with adults. The principal knew that he was doing wrong. He felt that he was a perverted monster, and he eventually began the spiral into the depths of lasciviousness and pornography, which led to his arrest when he was caught chatting with an FBI agent in a chat room that he thought was a child. And I, in a weird way, I find it encouraging that there's still an FBI agent that would arrest somebody for seeking a sexual relation with a child, because everything I hear from the FBI these days actually supports trafficking children. So somewhere in America, there's an FBI agent who still is enforcing some kind of good law. So praise God for that. So the immorality of the material itself is what leads many into the dark place of child sexualization and victimization. This is exactly what these materials are created for. This is their purpose, to sexualize everyone that comes into contact with them. If these books and materials could sexualize or pervert a grown man, then exactly what can they do to children? This is so devastating and just beyond words. And just to think about this man, his life has been destroyed. His family's life has been destroyed. His marriage has been destroyed. And now he has opened the door to his family to experience generational curses of sexual perversion that they need to be set free from because of curriculum. Because of curriculum. And it all started with compromise, not having a clear understanding of right and wrong, not drawing a line in the sand when you should, not taking a stand when you should, little compromises that open the door for the wedge to split him in half. This man is not beyond hope. He is still redeemable. His family's redeemable, but now it's much harder. You know, it is absolutely true that no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven, you can be set free, you can be healed. But it's also still true that it's much better never to have gone down that road in the first place. And you don't have to. You don't have to. Having such a huge increase, David continues, in child sex crimes within the public or government schools should be what alerts everyone to the depravity of such materials and agendas. When it comes to anything sexual or questionable within those indoctrination centers, please give specific information and warn as many as possible about these materials and their purpose. It's our duty, our charge, to at least warn them so that they are without excuse. And this is entirely true. We need to evangelize this generation. We need to stop. We need to stop these fountainheads, which is these are just like garbage, polluted waters that are we have placed above our children, flowing down into their drinking water. This generation of children is the most victimized, sexualized generation America has ever known, and maybe the world has ever known because of the technology. If they were never, if they were taught abstinence in public school, they would still have the odds stacked against them because of social media and the internet. But if a full-grown man could be influenced by this curriculum, when he didn't want to be, how do you think children who are being told by authority figures that this is the way to go, how are they going to resist? How can they stand a chance? If you don't have a prayer life, you need to get one now. And if you don't have a passion for the gospel, you need to recognize that you're part of the problem. Because without Jesus, these children stand no chance. They're going to live in hell, a miserable hell by their own existence. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to throw them in hell for this. They are already living there. And of course, without repentance, without salvation, they would end up in hell, as we all would. But that is not God's destination for them. That's not his will for them. And God, thankfully, is incredibly merciful and gracious, but he will not be merciful to our indifference. He will not be merciful to our apathy, because the scriptures say to rescue those who are being led away to slaughter. This generation is being led away to slaughter. And if you are guilty of sexualizing children, if you are guilty of turning your back when you should have taken a stand, you can be forgiven and you can be set right today. Simply confess your sin to Jesus. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And confess whatever you need to confess to another human being as well, no matter what the repercussions. Some people will say, I can't, I'll go to prison. I can't, I'll destroy my marriage. You must, or it will destroy you. There is no other option. You must. Jesus said, count the cost. And he said, take up your cross and follow me. And that cross may be to face the consequences of your own failures and your own sin, or to face the consequences of taking a stand. It's part of taking up your cross. But I can promise you this: joy, redemption, healing, forgiveness, and wholeness is on the other side of that. God bless you. Join with me in praying and fighting for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven, here in America, and whatever state or nation you are in. Take ownership of what God has given you and open the portals of heaven by praying for God's blessing to fall, for his conviction to fall, and then being his mouthpiece in the workplace, in the school, wherever you go, to speak the truth and to give the hope of Jesus to the world. And if you are in compromise today, repent. Reach out to me, www.carlgessler.com. I will be happy to pray with you if you need to be delivered from sexual perversion, if you need to be set free from something, because once you're set free, the fire will flow. You may have no passion for Jesus today, but that's because you've got stuff blocking the way. Remove it through deliverance, and you're going to be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit again. So reach out to me. We need you in the fight. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. So I'm beseeching the Lord, or begging the Lord, to send out laborers into his harvest, and you are one of those laborers. So if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need encouragement, you need impartation, reach out to me. I'll be happy to pray with you. All right, if you would just take a minute to like and subscribe, leave a comment. I'm sure that this video will be stuffed by algorithms. It may even be taken down. I don't know. But if you would help me by liking it, commenting, sharing it, so we can get this, push this out there so more people will see it and hear it. All right, God bless you guys. See you next time.